On you I will wait. On you I will wait. On you I will wait, Jesus. On you I will wait. On you I will wait. On you I will wait. On you I will wait, Jesus. On you I will wait. Wings like eagles, not grow weary when I run. When I walk, I won't grow faint. Yes, I will renew my strength.
I will wait. continues to be so, that we can have access to your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the grace to wait, to be patient, to serve you as waiters, to just embrace your truth. Lord, we've come to be changed, to be transformed. We didn't just come today to have a transactional relationship, but a transformative one. Teach us your word. Reveal yourself to us. Change us. We don't want to be hypocrites. We want to be true sons, deep to the core, changed and transformed. Reveal the secrets of the kingdom to us, that in the grace of those principles, those keys, we'll see the establishment of your church, the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail over. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to have you here this wonderful evening. The weather truly has changed, and it's exciting to experience another season in God, in this great nation. Praise God. Lest I get stuck with the previous studies, I'm just going to just go on to verse 19. Because there's still so much to glean from the previous verses. But let's go on to verse 19 today from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs, the third chapter. The Lord makes a statement here. He says, the Lord, by wisdom, hath founded the earth. The Lord, by wisdom. The word here is the Hebrew word chokmah, and it means, of course, the word wisdom or wise, with, but it means also skill. It says it is by skill that he founded the earth. God put things skillfully. This world didn't just come together. Everything God did, he put in proper order. He moved things from the state of disorder and placed them exactly where everything is meant to be. That's what God used to put this earth together, so that the earth is perfectly distanced from the sun. Perfectly distanced from the sun. We're not too close and we're not too far. We're right exactly where we're supposed to be, so that it's not too hot and not too cold. Everything in the earth is properly placed. He furnished everything properly. And he says to us, that when we have wisdom, the same thing is true for us, that wisdom is going to help us put things in proper order. That does not mean that the enemy doesn't come and try to throw things out of order. It just means that every time God does something, the circuit, the cycle of life, everything, life, death, everything is in order. Everything is in order. The animal kingdom, everything is in order. For example, here in Canada, or let's say here in Winnipeg, when it is winter and we don't have winter and everything looks like spring, we might be happy and say, wow, we have a wonderful winter. Everything looks like spring. I didn't have to wear my coat. I didn't have to heat up and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Then comes the real spring and the real summer, and then we start complaining. Because there are things that were supposed to happen during that time of winter, that time when it was cold, that didn't happen, and now it's chaos. So God ordered everything. Everything has its time and its place. The same is true for us. The things that we're supposed to do when we are youthful, we cannot start planning on doing them when we are 80 and 90. That's not the right time to do it. What you're supposed to do when you're 20, that's what you're supposed to do when you're 20. When you're 40, you do what you're supposed to do at 40, and so on and so forth. God skillfully put the world together. And the same thing for us. We need to put our world together skillfully, wisely. Because if we don't deal wisely, we will face the punishment of foolishness. Now, that is not to say that God cannot reverse time and help us correct things as we are going down the pathway of life. Certainly he does, and he helps, and he's faithful at that. That's where miracles come into place. But living a life of miracles is not what God wants for us all the time. When you're in the wilderness, it is good to have manna and quail. But when you get to the promised land, don't be looking for manna and quail. Anybody who's looking for manna and quail when they finally arrived in the promised land will still be waiting. It's not going to happen. It's a different season. It's a different time. And God says the same thing to us. If I, by wisdom, laid the foundation of the earth, and I'm asking you to have that same wisdom, then the foundation of your life needs to be laid by wisdom. What is this wisdom? The ability to hear God's word and do it. The ability to listen to elders, listen to teachers, listen to instruction, and don't think that you are the exception. There are some things that we are exceptions of, but not everything. You're not an exception when it comes to breathing in and breathing out, eating and chewing your food. All of that is a system. And God put that system in place skillfully, and established it by understanding. Now, when we go through this book right here, let me say this. God is very scientific. God is not against science. God is not against engineering or mechanics or physics or biology or geography. He put all of that in place. Amen? So being anti-science is not smart. But the God who put things together by science, and so you can discover God by looking at what he's done and saying, wait a minute. Things are too much in order that it can just happen. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than to believe what God said. It takes more faith to believe that all of this just happened. Bang! Everything happened. That you can see the way you see just because of some explosion. Things exploded. Bang! And eyeballs showed up. No, God put things in order. Amen? Nothing just happened. And it is foolishness to think things just happened. No. Somebody worked at it. It is like saying, you know, there's some people that may be watching on Facebook or YouTube, or they might be on Zoom. It's like saying, I'm just showing up just like that on YouTube without somebody doing something. The mechanics, the physics, the science, the electronics that have gone into all of this so that somebody can see me at the other end of the world right this very moment. Everything God did, he did skillfully by wisdom. And that same wisdom is being transferred to us as we learn. Understanding. By understanding, he established the heavens, the planetary system, outer space, that there are so many things, planets and stars out there right this very moment, and they are not all just colliding against each other and messing up everything. That is God, his understanding, spacing out things. What needs to die when it needs to die, what needs to live when it needs to live, everything is ordered by God. Amen? The Lord founded the earth. By understanding had he established the heavens. Notice, there's three things we said we must take note of when we're going through the book of Proverbs. Do you remember the three things? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, right? Okay, so verse 19 says, the Lord by wisdom had founded the earth, by understanding had he established the heavens, and by his knowledge. Third aspect, by his knowledge, the depths are broken. The depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. By his knowledge, all of those things happen. Depths are broken up. Now, those depths we have not explored as much. We know more of outer space than we know what's in the earth. You know, we're doing some exploration you know, and the seas and the oceans and stuff like that. But there's so much down here. And God is saying to us that he broke things open and he continues to break things open. And I believe that as we continue to grow, that knowledge is going to be unveiled. And the Word of God tells us that in the last days, knowledge is going to be rampant. And we're seeing it. Today we're talking about all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, we're talking about AI and what AI can do and the confusion of that. Because we have AI now beginning to feel and think by itself. And it's getting wild. It is a tapping into knowledge. Knowledge. But knowledge that is not born out of the Spirit of God is knowledge that is going to go rampant and become destructive. If man ever needed God, he needs God now. But the foolishness of it is the more man thinks he knows, the more foolish he becomes. Things are changing. God, by his knowledge, broke up the depths. And there are things that are going to be broken. And it needs to be in the hands and in the minds of believers. Which means, child of God, we must not be afraid of science, of physics. The knowledge that is in the world today started out with believers. A lot of people that believed in God, God revealing things to them, helping them. But they were not necessarily priests in the church. And when the priest saw the knowledge that was happening outside the church, they clamped down on it and thought that it was evil. We surrendered television to the world. It was first handed over to the church. No, it's the devil's box. So we pushed it out. And when we pushed it out, nature abhors a vacuum. Somebody else grabbed it. And then they started doing their crazy stuff with it. And then we complain. The clouds drop down the dew by the knowledge of God. Systems. Systems. Water, systems, heat, moisture, cloud. Now, what I want us to see here. Watch this. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up. Which means what God is saying here, I know I've been talking about science and all of that, but what God is saying here is this: I am in control of the systems. And I can determine by my knowledge where water is going to come out of, where it's going to rain. The meteorologist tries, does his best, and tells us when it's going to rain, and many times they're wrong. I'll tell you, it's going to rain at such and such a time. No, the one who knows when it's going to rain is him. He knows when he's going to dump it. He knows when the clouds are going to be full, because he generated the systems. You've been hearing me say systems again and again, and this is what I want us to get today. God knows the system, the cycle of life. He knows what needs to happen, when it needs to happen, so that everything is in proper order all the time. My prayer is to come before God and say, God, I need wisdom, I need understanding, I need knowledge, so that I can be right on with you as things happen, that I'm always where goodness and mercy are going to be poured down. Amen? Lord, I want to be right where things are happening, not come after everything has happened, not come before everything happens, but right at the right time. Because God, you are knowledgeable. You know when things are going to break. You know where it needs to break, when it needs to break, so that I can be busy doing other things and accomplishing other things, rather than watching to see when the phone is going to ring. You get the point? That's what many times we do. We're always waiting. God knows exactly when the phone is going to ring. I remember many years ago, the Lord spoke to me. I was in California in San Bernardino. And I was about to head out to school on Monday. I come from Costa Mesa, which is in Orange County, and I'll come to San Bernardino, and I was helping a pastor in San Bernardino, a man of God who's gone home to be with the Lord now, Pastor Nelson. And I had a mother that had adopted me. Long story. But anyway, I'll come and I'll stay at her house in San Bernardino. And one day, Sunday, the Lord speaks to me. He says to me, congratulations, you're married. I say, what? How? I'm here. How can I be married? Congratulations, you're married. Okay? Why are you telling me this? Well, because your dad is going to call you tomorrow at 9 a.m. I'm thinking, my dad is going to call me here in San Bernardino, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Right. This is getting from crazy to whatever level you want to go now. I'm thinking, this is totally bizarre. So I waited, 9 o'clock. The phone didn't ring. I didn't hear anything. I grabbed my bags and I'm heading out at about 9:01, 9:02. And the phone rings. So I go, I pick up the phone. Guess who was on the other side? My dad. My dad is calling me and he's telling me that I'm married to Mama. They had gone and done the native law and custom. We have two levels. We have the regular wedding that you all do in church. But this particular time, my pastor that I showed to you, last January, I think it was, had visited and went back to Nigeria and told my dad, says, hey, that son of yours, there are so many women surrounding him. Before he goes and married somebody over there, he has a fiance over here, take care of it before they snatch him over there. So my dad proceeded and said, okay, let me go and see the parents. You know the story of how God revealed Mama to me, so I'm just giving you another side to the story. So my dad goes to see her dad and says, my son who is in the United States wants to marry your daughter. Will you accept this? So her father accepted, her mother accepted, family accepted, they exchanged whatever they needed to exchange, and even though I was not there in person, my dad had gone to represent me to state what I wanted. Amen? Now, I tell you that story because of the phone. God knew when the phone was going to ring. He knew who was going to be on the other side of that phone call. I was here many years ago, and we were in Maryland. We'd gone to apply for a permit to use a building at 382 Maryland, and we'd lost the permit to use it. And I had to appeal for it. And I went home. Mama was in Nigeria at the time. I talked to the Lord. I said, God, you said this is a building. You pointed this building out. This is the one that we're supposed to be at this time. And they deny us access. They won't give us a permit. What do I do? So I'm sitting down here talking to you right now. God says, dial this number. Dialed. A guy picks the phone up. City Hall. And I tell him that I want to speak at a hearing to appeal what just happened a few days before. And the guy says, it's not possible. It's going to take 3 to 6 months before we can hear. I said, I don't have 3 to 6 months. I want you to put me in the docket right away. I said, by the way, when is the next hearing? He says, on Monday. I said, then put me on the Monday, or whatever day it was. I said, put me on there. He said, it's not possible. I said, it is very possible. Put me on there. And he says to me, he says, okay, tell you what. If you get a note to me right away, by about 2 o'clock today, I will put you in the docket so that you can speak to the appeals board. I had about 3 hours. I don't know how to type. God made it possible. Somebody that knew how to type and do stuff, came, and bang, 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 bang. I had it. I took off to City Hall. I walked into the building, and I see a group of people coming, and the Lord zeroed on somebody. He says, that's the guy you're coming to see. So I walked straight to the guy. I said, are you Mr. So-and-so? He said, yes. Who's asking? I said, I'm the one who was just talking to you a few hours ago. Here's the document. He looks at it. Okay. He adds me into the docket. And I show up. And I tell you, I had the first meeting I went to, I was very eloquent. I nailed it. Bang. You know. Oh, man. There's no way they're not going to give everything they needed. I had it all. And they denied me. And the person who made it happen was Glenn Murray. And I saw it happen. Before he did it, I saw this spirit come upon him. And the Lord says, you see that guy? You see that spirit? I just came into that guy now and said, yeah. He says, they're going to turn you down. They had already accepted my request. And yeah, Glenn Murray goes against it. And psst, there was a tie. And when you have a tie at this meeting, you lose. So I'd lost. Now I come now to City Hall, and the chairman of that particular meeting that I just lost at was in that meeting. And when he saw me come in, the guy went red. He is scared witless, because he's thinking, how under God's heaven does this guy that we just turned down show up right away? This should not happen at least 3 to 6 months, and he's here right away in the docket. I had the worst speech ever. I won't even give me. It was the worst speech. I blew it big time. And guess what? I get the permit. I'm thinking, what on earth? Well, because God is in control. Amen? When God knows exactly where you need to be, and all you and I need to do is just trust Him. You know, I know when I'm talking about stuff like I've just been saying, you know, it sounds spooky. somebody tells you to dial someone. My goodness, what is this? Well, but that's supposed to be natural to us, isn't it? God knows, and He says if we're His friend, He will reveal secrets to us. He'll tell us what to do. Hallelujah. We believe more in devils than we believe in God. People will run to some palm reader and says, tell me my future. I see this line. I see that line. This. Craziness. You believe that nonsense, but you don't believe God. That God can speak to you. That God can direct you. When you acknowledge God in all of your ways, He will direct your path. He is not on the dark side. Hallelujah. The devil is just trying to imitate God. Get the real deal. Hear God. Praise God. He's faithful. By His knowledge, He'll break up the depths. So He says, my son, let not them, what them? Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep those things in your eyes. But what is the word of God saying about what we need to keep in our eyes? His word. His word. That's where the wisdom that you need, the understanding that you need, the knowledge that you need, that's where it's going to come forth from. Well, unfortunately, we try to major on minors and minor on majors. It's too slow, you know, trying to do it God's way. So I'm going to do it my way. I did it my way. And then you fall flat on your face and find out doing it your way, good as it might not be the right timing. Timing, systems. A lot of things that we do that are unwise are not necessarily unwise. It's that they are not in alignment with the God who puts this earth in its rotation, in its orbit, and gets things going the way it needs to go. God will show you what to do, when to do it, how to flow, when to stop, when to take two steps, when to take one step back, when to take five steps forward, and at what pace you need to. And as you're doing that, arrows and axes and all kinds of bullets are flying, and you're dancing. You're doing the dance like the butterfly. Hallelujah. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind, but it makes all sense to God. Amen? Hallelujah. He says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Keep it. Follow through with it. That word discretion is an interesting word. It is the Hebrew word mezimah, and it's a word that has two sides to it, mezimah. There's the good part and there's the evil part. So mezimah could mean invention, and it could mean mischievousness. Obviously, when God talks about sound wisdom and discretion, he's not talking about being mischievous and being evil. He's talking about having an intent, purpose, wittiness that seeks good, that pursues after it, like pursuing peace, making sure that you are an agent of peace, knowing when to say something and when not to say it. And discretion. That word there is about not assuming things or presuming things. Most of the mistakes we make in life are based on assumptions. We assume, we deduct this, then it must be this. You know how many times we have made major mistakes in life? Because they just assumed stuff. Relationships have been torn asunder because of assumptions. You just presume. He should know this. No. Don't assume anything. Don't assume anything. That's what discretion is all about. Being discreet is your way of not bringing evil into whatever it is that you're trying to do. Now, sound wisdom and discretion. This is where relationships are destroyed. A husband and a wife and he or she assumes. She assumes he is going to do this, 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 and that. He assumes she is going to do this, 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 that, and that. You should know. Like I'm in your head. How am I supposed to know? I know because I'm told. But I told you yesterday. So today, I assume that whatever it is that you said yesterday is still true for today. Not recognizing that your taste may have changed from yesterday to today. So I come to you with the same hot dogs I came that you were, you know, craving yesterday, and say, "What is this? What is it? Did I ask for hot dogs? No. So why are you giving me hot dogs? What I want is hamburgers. Hello." But you say, you told me yesterday, I love hot dogs. So I brought hot dogs. No. See, discretion is not about hiding stuff. You know, when we see discretion there, we think, oh, that means you keep secrets. You've been discreet. No, discretion here is about not assuming anything. Asking the right questions so that you get the right results. Amen? He says, so shall they be life unto thy soul. Wisdom and discretion, it shall be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Hallelujah. It will become grace to your neck. Now, my spiritual dad used to say, make a statement. He says, Mama always tells me, that is Mama Teresa, both of them are home with the Lord now. But he used to say, Mama says, well, Morris, you're the head, but I am the neck that turns the head. Yeah. Well, wisdom and discretion bring life to your soul. They give you hope. They strengthen you. They encourage you. You know, you're not in a state of depression. And it says, and grace to thy neck. Grace, that word grace here, we need to understand, is an enablement that is given to us by God to accomplish what we cannot accomplish in ourselves. Amen? Grace is kindness. Grace is favor. So the Word of God is saying that when we have wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, it becomes a conduit of favor that will turn your head in the right direction so you see the right things and look away from the wrong things. That makes sense? If that makes sense, do you wave at me? If it doesn't make sense, okay. Some hands went up a little bit slow, so... So maybe I need to further explain. The neck muscles affect the direction that you're looking at. If I don't have a neck, I cannot turn my head that way. my neck. It's helping my head to turn. And what the Word of God is saying is that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, when you keep it, will turn your head in the right direction. So that you see what you need to see when you need to see it. So that you look at what you need to look at. Because you see, in life, there's so many things to do. Options are good. But when you have too many options, you slow down. Because now you have to think about this, and think about that, and think about this, and think about that, and try to decide which one is the best. But when you have the wisdom and the knowledge of God, God will turn your head. All of those things are good, but this is the one I have for you right there. This one. And sometimes what God is pointing at in the natural doesn't look like it's good. But God sees past the dirt. You're driving and God says, see that property there? Go buy that property. That's how God brought us into this property. He said to me, son, it's time to move. I said, move to where? To the new church. We couldn't even pay for where we were. Some little dingy little place with a nice big furnace, hanging furnace that you have in garages. So while I'm preaching, all of a sudden that thing will come on. So I'll start competing with that noise. While we're in church, there comes all these visitors, rats. But God led us to that place. And I saw miracles in that place. I believe, truly believe, that angels came to that place to help renovate it. But sometimes I wonder about those angels, you know, because, you know, these people come off the street, you know, like we're doing renovations and, you know, I'll have people say, Pastor, I'm going to be there tomorrow, you know, to help do the renovation so we can have our permit and the inspectors are going to come. And so, let's say inspectors are coming tomorrow. I have 6 or 7 people that say they are going to come. I go there. Nobody shows up. But they all know that tomorrow, inspectors are going to come. So what did God do? People will come off the street. Off the street. 3-4 people will come and say, oh, what are you guys doing here? And say, well, I'm trying to do this. Oh, can I help? Sure. And they will help me. We will pass. But I tell you what, those guys that were put in helping me with mudding, I think I can do better than them. They will just slap the mud on. And then they leave. I'm saying, these guys, they got to be angels. But angels that don't know how to mud properly, I don't know about this. The fact is, we passed every time. Every time. One day God says, I want to go show you the new church. So I get into the car and followed the navigation directions of the Lord. Takes me all the way from Maryland. I go down, I think I went down Arlington or whatever, and come down Inkster, and then come down Inkster to Main Street. Turn right on Main Street. I come down Main Street, and I was at Cathedral over there. And he says, you see that building there? I said, yes, what about it? He said, you go take it. That's where the church is going to be. You take it, and I tell you what, if you don't take it, I'll personally close down this church. Huh? What are you talking about? The place is way bigger than where I'm coming from. I can't even pay for the rent. You show me this building and you say, go take it. And if I don't go take that building, he's going to close it down, close the church down. So I turned around. I saw the whole building. I turned around right in the turn over there. And I just drove home. I don't like this. You know, you're telling me I should go and take that building. And if I don't take it, you'll close down the church. I guess the church is going to close down. I don't know, I'm going to go get that building. So when I calmed down, I said, okay, how are we going to do it? I talked to a dear man of God, a brother that was with us for a long time. I told him what I was thinking. I said, let me back up. I didn't tell anybody. I went to church on Sunday. And that Sunday, I said, we're moving. We're moving where? To our new church. But we're going to have a committee. So we had a committee of, I think it was 12 people, something like 10 or 12 people. So a while back now. And I raised the first offering to come take this building. You know how much it was? Huh? $100,000? No. It was about $10, something like that. It was somebody's lunch money. And he was, yeah, we and it was exactly the amount of people that I had in the committee. So each one of them was like a buck each. So I came, I found out, I went to the landlord and I told him, we're moving. He says, you're moving where? I said, down somewhere on Main Street. He says, you better be serious now. I said, why? He said, you see the guy that just walked past you when you were coming in? I said, yes. He said, that guy wants a church. And I came here asking me for a place where he can have his church services. I said, give it to him. He said, when do you expect to be out of here? I said, in a month and a half. Remember how much I had? $10. So I went to the church. I told them, we're moving. Send the committee. The committee went. They went around this city. They found this building. I didn't tell them. They found this building, came back and told me, there's a building that we saw, but it's very big. I said, where is it? He said, it's right at the corner of Mainland Church. I said, really? Okay. Let's connect with the real estate agent. We connected with the real estate agent. That brother that I talked with, I finally talked with him, put down a deposit for $10,000. And in a month and a half, we were supposed to come up with $50,000 for our initial deposit. And if we don't come up with 50 grand, we lose the 10,000. On the day off, we only had about 30,000. But that was even a miracle, because the entire year prior to that time, all we could raise for the whole year was 50 grand for just services. On the last day, Within hours, we had all the money we needed. And that's how we got into this place. God knew exactly what needed to do. He needed to do. He turned our face to the right building. We didn't have to look at every place. This was the place. And this place we came into, because this was the place He had marked out for us to come into. I say all of that to say this. He's that same God. Because he says, watch this, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Your feet will not stumble. You walk safely. This is where I want for you. It looked like an impossibility, but with God, there are no impossibilities. Amen? Well, I wish I could tell you, you know, I've always done it right. I have had my share of mistakes. When rather than following the leading of God, I followed my natural eyes. And every time, it generated much pain. Every time. The right way for every one of us is to have a relationship with God and allow Him to grant us His wisdom, His knowledge, His understanding. And that those three things begin to guide us. We'll find out later as we keep on going that it is through this that your house is built, the foundation is laid, your house is built, and your house is furnished. Those three things. So we close today by asking God, Lord, I ask again, grant me your wisdom, your knowledge, and your understanding. Now, those three things are totally useless if you're not going to obey. Say that again. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are totally useless if you will not obey. If you don't obey and God gives you knowledge and understanding, do this and you won't do it. Say, You're just believing what? What are you believing? If you come, you hear God's word and don't do it, don't obey it, you're a fool. You're building your house on sand. Everything that we are reading in the Word of God boils down to one thing, obedience. And guess what? Sin boils down to one thing, disobedience. God says, don't do this. Oh, I'm an exception. I'll get away with it. You're a lying fool. You're lying to yourself. Don't touch that. Oh. Why not? Have you ever seen a child do that? A toddler? Hey, baby, don't go there. And It starts very early. So we've got to break that stronghold of disobedience and resistance to the word of God. Say, God, shatter this nonsense out of my life. May I walk in wisdom, in knowledge, and understanding. Amen? It is true for everything in our lives. My experience is a lot of marriages fall apart not because the people didn't know what the right thing to do. In fact, a person who's going through a bad marriage might be your best counselor. They will tell you all the right things to do, but they won't do it. It's about obeying what you know to be true. You break the laws of etiquette. You break the laws of business. You break the laws of relationships. You will get the benefit and the pain of that. There are no exceptions. It takes God's mercy to help put us in the right because we repent. So the prayer tonight is, God, forgive me for every act of foolishness, every time that I've just moved around dealing with life in an unwise way, walking around without understanding, walking around ignorant. Forgive me for all of that. Forgive me for not obeying wise instruction. Forgive me for not responding properly when I should have understood. Forgive me for when I have not walked in obedience to that which I know to be true. Grant to me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But above all, grant to me the grace to obey the instruction, because I know I am loved and you want the best for me. Amen. As a prayer that we need to pray, God, help me to do it right, to correct things when I've gone the wrong way, so I can walk in safety and not stumble. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We stumble because we don't have light. So one of the key things that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding will bring to you is enlightenment. So you know that you know that you know. Amen? One of the things God has called us to do, if we deal with it wisely, with understanding and knowledge, is it says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men bring into your bosom. He says, when we honor him with our tithes and our offerings, that he will open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing. When we sow, we will reap. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. When I'm wise, I obey the instruction of the Lord and I do my part so that God is fully licensed to bless me and to rebuke the devourer for my sake. Amen? So this is time for us to give unto the Lord. And as we give, let us expect the response of God. He will water our seed sown and multiply our seed sown. God bless you. I thank God for every one of you. The Bible studies will continue all the way through the last Wednesday of June. And then July and August, we'll take a break, but prayer meetings on Friday nights will continue even through the summer. Okay? Hallelujah. God bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord.